Assassin. You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest. You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest. What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Tropp, and I'm your host, Katie Tropp. Well, what a day for the NFL yesterday. We had some insane games where it was just back and forth, back and forth. So let's get right into it, beginning with the game in Frankfurt, Germany. We had the Miami Dolphins at the Kansas City Chiefs, and the Chiefs came out and dominated this game in the first half. And it was actually kind of funny because, Tyreek Hill, he used to play for the Chiefs, and then they traded him away 2 years ago. And so this has been a big matchup for him, obviously, that he circled on the calendar. He hasn't been necessarily talking shit all week, but he's definitely been saying, I'm going to have a big game, I'm going to have a big game. Now, it wouldn't have been shocking if he had a big game, but unfortunately for him, he had a big game in the opposite way. He only ended up with 62 yards, and he actually had a big fumble, which ended up being a touchdown return for the Kansas City Chiefs defense. So that just really put the Dolphins in a hole, because already at that point they were down 14-0, and then that touchdown on defense put them up 21-0 headed into halftime. But then the Dolphins were finally able to put together a few good drives in the second half, most notably in the third quarter. They ended up scoring 14 points in the third quarter. And then the Chiefs defense just really was able to hold them off in the fourth quarter and just make sure that they were able to walk away with this win. And so the Chiefs did get the win 21-14. There's still a lot of questions offensively with the Chiefs, but defensively, they're looking pretty solid and they made the big plays when necessary. And it just goes to show what I've been saying about the Dolphins all season long. I don't believe in them just because when they go up against a good team, they usually fail. And once again, that happened to them this week against the Chiefs. Then we had the Minnesota Vikings at the Atlanta Falcons. And this was one of those crazy back and forth games. I mean, it was just like boom, 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 back and forth between both teams. And unfortunately for the Vikings, they put in a new quarterback, of course, because Kirk Cousins tore his Achilles last week, so he's out for the season. So they got a new quarterback in, and unfortunately, their new quarterback ended up getting a concussion. And earlier in the week, they had traded for Joshua Dobbs from the Arizona Cardinals, but Dobbs didn't practice at all this week. He didn't know any of the terminology, really. He basically just had to learn on the fly as this game went on. So Dobbs ends up coming into this game. You can see it on the sideline. They're actually showing the offensive linemen like circled around him, just trying to learn his cadence because they don't know his cadence. And he ends up going out on the field and not only having a good-ass game, but getting a clutch win. And I mean, he was hitting dudes. He even said, I was throwing passes to people I don't even know their names yet, because he just got to the Vikings. So it was a big win for the Vikings, 31-28. And I mean, it was expected, in my opinion, with what Atlanta's doing. Atlanta is just terrible this year, and it doesn't matter who they have in at quarterback. They ended up playing Heinicke this week, who didn't have a bad game. He went to had 268 yards and a touchdown and an interception. But I mean, the Falcons are just bad, and that's actually why I took the Vikings, not just because, you know, obviously I didn't know what their quarterback situation was going to be. I mean, that's always a factor, but I just felt like they had a much better talent level than the Falcons, and it really did show because the Falcons just made a lot of mistakes. And, you know, congrats to Josh Dobbs, man. This guy came right in and just made the big plays when he needed to. I'm not saying he's going to be the next Tom Brady or anything of that nature, but he definitely proved that he's going to be the Vikings starting quarterback, at least for the rest of this season. Then we had the Arizona Cardinals at the Cleveland Browns. And hey, guess what, guys? Deshaun Watson's little bitch ass actually decided to play this weekend. And he had a good game. I mean, the Cardinals are terrible. Hey, he had a good game. 219 yards and two touchdowns. Amari Cooper had a huge game, 139 yards and a touchdown. But the Browns blew out the Cardinals 27-0. It was
just as expected. I mean, the Cardinals are terrible, but it's actually was announced just moments ago that Kyler Murray's probably going to be playing this weekend. So who knows? Maybe they'll get better. I doubt it, but at least that's something for them. Then we had the Los Angeles Rams at the Green Bay Packers, and in a shocking turn of events, the Packers actually dominated this game. Now, Matthew Stafford did not play. It turns out that thumb injury was a bit too much for him, so I can't recall the quarterback's name who started, but some rando started at quarterback for the Rams this week, but the Packers' defense actually really held it down in this game, and their offense was able to make the plays when needed to. Aaron Jones had a good game, 73 yards and a touchdown. Jordan Love didn't have a terrible game either, 228 yards and a touchdown. Pretty solid win from the Packers, 20-3, and pretty terrible game from the Rams just overall. But I mean, like I said, backup quarterback in, and even Matthew Stafford was struggling with that offensive line, so backup quarterback coming in is, I didn't expect him to really set the world on fire. Then we had the Washington Commanders at the New England Patriots, and wow, this season couldn't get worse for the Patriots. They lost yet another one, and it was a heartbreaker because, you know, it was actually another back-and-forth type of game here. But then the Commanders were able to take command, if you will, in the second half and really just stave off the Patriots from any type of comeback. Once again, Mac Jones was throwing some really bad passes and threw another bad interception in a critical point in the game where the Patriots were driving, trying to make anything happen. And Mac Jones once again threw the interception. And the Commanders were able to walk away with the win 20-17. The Patriots are 2-7. And, yeah, I mean, the Commanders aren't much better. But the Patriots just look really, really, really bad. And that now even Bill Belichick is even getting questioned in his press conferences this morning. He was asked if he's worried about his job security at this current point in time. And of course, you know, he answered in typical Bill Belichick fashion. I'm just focused on the Colts because that's who they're playing next. But, you know, two wins is pretty bad. And this Patriots team just doesn't, you know, there's teams that are bad, but they at least kind of show heart. You know, we'll get to the Texans game, and they're not like a good team, but they at least are in the majority of the games that they play, and they play with heart. You can't say that about the New England Patriots. And I know they have a few injuries on the defensive side of things, but that doesn't explain what's going on offensively here. So, hey, I don't know. I hear Josh McDaniels is available for a job, so I'm sure he'll be back being the wonder boy, right, in New England. Then we had the Chicago Bears at the New Orleans Saints. This went as expected. The Saints got the win 24-17. They dominated this game from start to finish. I know the score looks pretty close, but I mean, the Saints had this in a runaway from the jump for the most part. But the Saints defense came up with the big strip sack at the end basically to seal the win. And they just pulled off yet another big win. And the Bears, another terrible team right there with the Patriots, where you just look at them and you go, they just don't play with heart either. They're pretty awful, and they're 2-7. So we'll see where both of those teams end up in the NFL draft next year, because I'm assuming both of them are going to be top five picks next year. Then we have the Seattle Seahawks at the Baltimore Ravens. And, you know, I've been saying the Ravens are a damn good team, and y'all better watch out for the Ravens. And y'all better still watch out for the Ravens, because they smashed the Seattle Seahawks yesterday, 37-3. This Ravens defense ain't nothing to fuck with. They are insane. I mean, their safety, Geno Stone, had yet another interception. So he already led the league with, I believe, 6 interceptions on the season. Now he's got 7. And, I mean, he's making them in critical points in time. Lamar Jackson, they didn't even really have to rely on him yesterday. He didn't even have a big game yesterday. It was like defense and ground attack. It was what you call typical Ravens football. I mean, they had this running back, Mitchell, come in, a guy I've never even heard of. But he had 138 yards on the ground and the touchdown. And like I said, they did not have to rely on Lamar Jackson, which is huge because for the most part, they have to rely on him. But defense is just, whoa, Roquan Smith is out of his mind right now. So I'm telling you, and the Seahawks aren't a chump team. They aren't the best team. They have these fuck-ups, obviously, throughout the season. But they're not a chump squad, and they got smashed in every single way. I mean, the Ravens are just dominating in all three phases of the game. And, you know, it's really difficult for me. I'm still kind of debating on what I'm going to do with my power rankings, but it's really hard for me to not put them at number one. But, they are such a good team. At least right now they are. Then we had probably one of the most exciting games of the day, which you didn't expect it going in, but whoa, it went down to the wire. And that was the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at the Houston Texans. Holy shit. I mean, this was as back and forth as it gets. And you get to the fourth quarter, and Baker Mayfield had this excellent drive to drive the Buccaneers all the way down the field. They score a touchdown, take the lead, and there's like, I believe, 50-ish, 45-ish seconds left on the clock. So you're thinking, there's no way C.J. Stroud's going to drive this team down the field. Well, C.J. Stroud, the rookie, drove this team down the field in a matter of a couple of fucking plays, and ends up scoring the game-winning TD drive. And not only did they win the game 39-37, but C.J. Stroud, I've been telling y'all, I thought he was the best quarterback in the draft last year, so I've been high on this guy, did not expect him to do what he's been doing this season alone. I mean, only having a couple of interceptions, that's insane. But yesterday, he passed for 470 yards, which is a rookie record, and 5 touchdowns in one game, which is also a rookie fucking record. C.J. Stroud is a motherfucking beast, y'all. If the Texans actually play their cards right and actually start building around this guy and give him some, you know, give him a solid number one receiver, give him like a really nice running back, improve this defense just a bit. Like, I kind of feel like the Texans next year, if, like I said, if they build things right, which, you know, the Texans aren't known for doing, which is why I'm very hesitant with what I'm saying right now. But if the Texans just build around C.J. Stroud and get him what he needs, they could easily turn this shit around, like, next season, because they are in a terrible-ass division. And Stroud is the dude. He is no joke, y'all. And I mean, good for them. That was a great pick. And good for Stroud, too. He is showing I should have been number one. But big win by the Texans in a crazy game, 39-37. Then we had the Indianapolis Colts at the Carolina Panthers. Panthers had a terrible-ass game. You know, Bryce Young, I didn't expect him. Young is having what you would call a rookie season. Usually, rookies don't have great seasons. It's usually pretty bad for the most part. And so Bryce Young has definitely been having his struggles. Yesterday, he threw 3 interceptions on the day, so it just was not a good day for him. But the Colts, they actually had a very solid day. They got the win 27-13, but I mean, they really were just blowing out the Panthers the entire way. The Panthers were finally able to put a couple of drives together to score some points in the end, but overall, this was just straight Indianapolis Colts domination. And like I said, Bryce Young is right now the exact opposite of Stroud. Not saying, you know, it's kind of difficult to say Stroud wouldn't be better than Young if they were in opposite positions right now, just because C.J. Stroud doesn't have a lot of weapons. I mean, he's throwing to some dude named Tank Dell yesterday, making some big-ass plays. I mean, that ain't no number one wide receiver like A.J. Brown up in Philly. You know what I'm saying? That's not no big dude. So, and Bryce Young actually has Adam Thielen, who's actually a really good receiver. I kind of feel like if Stroud had a Thielen, he'd be even better. So I don't know. I wonder if the Panthers are kind of feeling like, fuck, we made the wrong decision. Now, like I said, obviously with Young, there were going to be growing pains. But with what C.J. Stroud is doing, it's kind of looking like they made the wrong decision. But let's give Young a few years. I'm not saying he's a bust at all. I'm just saying, you look at what C.J. Stroud's doing with what he's given, and you see what Bryce Young is doing, and it's not looking too good for Carolina right now. But they will. Oh, I was going to say they're going to have a high draft pick. No, that draft pick's actually going to the Chicago Bears because of the trade they made last year to move up for the number one pick. Anyways, we have the next game. Wow. The New York Giants at the Las Vegas Raiders. First of all, good for the Raiders. I mean, I kind of expected them to really show out for Antonio Pierce. That tends to happen when you change coaches in the midseason like this. Lots of times they do get the win just out of like, oh my God, everything's changed. But also the Raiders were playing the Giants. And, you know, Daniel Jones, he ended up starting the game yesterday. And then he ended up getting injured again. And this time it's a season-ending injury. He tore his ACL, so he is done for the season. But I already told you that weeks ago, dude was going to have issues because this offensive line is terrible. And even though it was a non-contact injury, still I'm not shocked that Daniel Jones is gone for the rest of the season. That's no shock. So they brought in good old DeVito, Danny DeVito's son or whatever. And I'm joking. I don't believe he's Danny DeVito's son. It's just DeVito. You hear the last name and that's all I think is, oh, is that, that was the first thing I thought when I saw his name. I was like, oh, is that Danny DeVito coming in to play in the game? That's how bad the Giants quarterback situations got. They had to call up that motherfucker. But anyways, so the Raiders actually did have a dominating game. They won 30-6, but like I said, they were playing the Giants. It was kind of funny to see them. They were like smoking like victory cigars after the game, and maybe they do that after every victory. But I was just kind of chuckling like, y'all ain't champs. Let's slow down on the victory cigar. Maybe when you like make the playoffs, that's when you smoke a victory cigar and like start celebrating that kind of shit. But that's why the Raiders never win, because they're celebrating beating the crappy-ass Giants and their 12th-string quarterback, Danny DeVito. So congrats to the Raiders and Antonio Pierce for doing what they do, but I don't see why y'all were that excited over that win. Then we had a really good game, but result I didn't like, of course, but it was my Dallas Cowboys at the Philadelphia Eagles. Now, it was a hard-fought game, two very evenly matched teams, but as the saying goes, it's a game of inches. And the Cowboys just failed like they always do in the tiniest of details, because that's what happens. That's what where these games are won, is who wins those small, tiny battles, and the Eagles did. The Eagles didn't even have that great of a game. They just made the plays when necessary, and Dallas did not. I mean, everybody wants to blame the refs, of course, and don't get me wrong. That was terrible, terrible officiating yesterday. The calls were just absolutely atrocious, and a lot of the non-calls and picking up of flags on obvious calls, like, it was just terrible, but the Cowboys made so many mistakes along the way that you could just look at. Like, first of all, the Eagles had three fumbles that our defense didn't pick up. And I feel like had they picked up one of those, that might have changed the outcome of the game, or at least given us a better shot. Everybody wants to try and blame Dak. I'm not one of those people. As a matter of fact, I'm going to tell you straight up, Dak Prescott has really been earning my respect since that San Francisco 49ers game. You know, he's really turned it around. And the only negative with him yesterday was missing the two-point conversion. And you know what? I'm not going to hold that against him, because he was really the only reason why we stayed in it. Like, I've got an issue right now with this offensive line, because Dak's been running for his life in every single fucking game. By the way, Dak had 374 yards and 3 touchdowns yesterday. And he made numerous plays where he had to run out because the offensive line can't fucking block for shit. And he would end up making plays. And he's been doing that the last 3 freaking weeks. And I gotta say, too, I'm disappointed in what Tony Pollard's doing. This guy's obviously not a number one running back, because he is not giving us a ground attack. So now we have to rely on Dak's arm. And while Dak is really, really showing out, and C.D. Lamb as well. C.D. Lamb had 191 yards yesterday. Now, unfortunately, he needed about 4 more to get that game-winning touchdown. But it's like the Cowboys just once again made too many of the little mistakes. They had, once again, a couple of drop passes that could have kept drives going. We had a stupid holding penalty on, like, the one good run we had on the day, which brought us back. And then on the final drive. So the Eagles were basically handing us a touchdown on the final fucking drive. I mean, we were finally getting the calls we've been waiting for all fucking night long. And we get down into the red zone. And, of course, you know, Dak gets sacked because the offensive line isn't blocking for shit. And we get backed up even more. And then we have a fucking false start. And if you really, really look at it, that false start is probably what cost us the touchdown. Because you take a look at it, and CeeDee Lamb missed that touchdown by about 3 to 4 yards. So that false start pretty much cost us that final touchdown in the end. But it just was as disappointing as it is for a Cowboys fan, as it always is, because once again, they don't step up in the big moments, don't play great situational football. And the Eagles walked away with the win 28-23, even though they were handing it to us on a silver fucking platter on that last drive, man. The Cowboys, I was like, oh my God, we actually are going to do this. And then, of course, we get in our own motherfucking way as usual. So Cowboys do what the Cowboys do, and that's lose. And the Eagles get yet another big win. Then Sunday Night Football, Buffalo Bills at the Cincinnati Bengals. Joe Burrow is back, if y'all did not know. He had 348 yards and 2 touchdowns last night in a big win for the Bengals, 24-18. It actually shouldn't have even really been that close. The Bengals first drive scored a touchdown. Then the Bills came back, scored a touchdown on their first drive. And then pretty much the Bengals never looked back from there. They just were able to just keep it going, eat some clock up. Then the Bills did what the Bills do. They got going way too late in the game, and they did end up scoring a touchdown, getting the 2-point conversion to kind of get things going. But no, the Bengals just got their offense out there and just made the big plays when they needed to and got the first downs that they needed to, and they ended up getting the win 24-18. And really, you got to watch out for these Bengals, because Joe Burrow looking healthy again, this defense is playing really well. Jamar Chase is on fire. T. Higgins finally had a good game last night. He had 110 yards. Joe Mixon's making the big plays. So this Bengals team, while I was talking about the Ravens being a really good team, you also got to watch out for the Bengals, because this is actually what the Bengals do. They start the season off quiet because, you know, Joe Burrow has basically started every single season off of his career injured. And then once he gets healthy, they get going, and they just are a team you can't fuck with at this current point in time. So watch out for those Bengals. Then we have a Monday Night Football game tonight. We have the Los Angeles Chargers at the New York Jets. Right now, the Chargers are a 1.5-point favorite. That's kind of shocking to me, just because I think the Jets are just awful. I know defensively they are really good, but offensively, this is just one of the worst teams I've ever seen. I don't even know how they have the couple of wins that they have. They just have been able to make lucky plays here and there, I guess. I mean, I know their defense is stout, but I kind of have a feeling that's not going to be the case tonight. As a matter of fact, I feel like the Chargers are going to walk right in, and it's going to be an ass-whooping from the Chargers tonight. 38-7 is what I have. All right, and now that we finally have about 10 days of NBA games under our belts here to start the season, we can now begin the top 10 NBA power rankings. The first week is always, or the first list of power rankings is always difficult for me. Actually, the first like month or two of power rankings in basketball is difficult, just because the bottom like three teams, like the 8, 9, and 10 teams, I really, really had to struggle with, because, you know, it's early in the season, and a lot of teams are still finding their ways, but here we go. First top 10 NBA power rankings of the season. Number one, the Boston Celtics. They are 5-0 right now. They are first in points per game right now. They are averaging 126 points per game. They are also first in rebounds per game. They're averaging 52 rebounds per game. Jason Tatum picking up right where he always picks up off. He's averaging 30 points per game and 10 rebounds per game. So he's averaging about a double-double per game right now. And the Celtics are doing what the Celtics do, and that's just score everybody out of the building. And they look like typical Boston Celtics, still pretty damn good. Then at number two on my top 10 in NBA power rankings, I have the Denver Nuggets. They are 6-1 right now, and they look damn good. It was actually difficult for me to not put them above the Celtics, but the Celtics are undefeated, so I gotta respect that. But the Nuggets could easily be number one. A, they're the defending champs. B, Nikola Jokic has also picked up right where he always leaves off as well, as the triple-double fucking king. He's already got, what, like two on the season already? I mean, this guy is just nuts when it comes to doing everything for this team. He's right now averaging 27 points per game, 13 rebounds per game, and 8 assists per game. So he's only averaging a double-double at this point in the season. So that's what you call terrible stats for Nikola Jokic, but great stats for everybody else. But he's just playing at a phenomenal level yet again. And then you also have just all the role players stepping it up. KCP's having a good season so far. Aaron Gordon's also made some big plays. So the Denver Nuggets look damn good right now. Then at number three on my top 10 NBA power rankings, the Dallas Mavericks. They are 5-1 right now, and they are one of the hottest teams in the league. And Luka Doncic is on fire, averaging 32 points per game, 11 rebounds per game, and 9 assists per game. So he's also averaging a double-double right now. And he's looking really, really solid. Now, the thing with the Mavs is, are they going to be able to keep this up as the season moves on? I mean, at some point, Luka tends to get injured because it's all on him. Kyrie, I believe, has already missed a game. I think he started his period or something, so that's why he had to sit out. But, you know, the Mavs are looking pretty good, at least right now. Then at number four on my top 10 NBA power rankings, the Golden State Warriors. These motherfuckers just never fucking die. I thought they were going to fall off this season, and it is still early, but they are 5-2 right now, and they've actually won some pretty good games. CP3 is fitting right in with this team, as a matter of fact. Steph Curry is doing Steph Curry things, as always, averaging 30 points per game, and they actually just got Draymond Green back as well, who coincidentally took a big hit to the balls last night. I say coincidentally because we all know Draymond is known for taking a little sluggo to other opponents' nut sacks. So it was actually kind of funny for him to finally feel the wrath of getting kicked in the junk during a game. But other than that, I mean, the Warriors are back to fucking being the Warriors. Can this team ever be stopped? I don't know if it's going to last the entire season, but so far the Warriors are looking pretty goddamn good. Then at number five on my top 10 NBA power rankings, the Philadelphia 76ers. They are 4-1 on the season. And Joel Embiid and Tyrese Maxey are looking like quite the combo right now. Like I said, good for the 76ers for getting rid of that douchebag, James Harden, sending him to exactly where he belongs, to die with the Los Angeles Clippers. But the 76ers actually playing really well right now. Once again, don't know how long it's going to last with them because Embiid tends to get injured as the season wears along, but I guess that could be said for a lot of guys throughout the season. But 76ers are actually playing really solid basketball right now. Then at number six on my top 10 NBA power rankings have the New Orleans Pelicans. They are 4-2, and Zion Williamson also has yet to get injured. And what does that mean? This team looks really, really damn good. Unfortunately, they did get some bad news yesterday or a couple days ago that CJ McCollum, he actually suffered a collapsed lung, so who knows when this guy's going to come back. And that's terrible for them because he's actually a pretty good piece to this team. But I will say Zion is getting stronger and stronger every game, so maybe this is a season where he's not going to suffer a debilitating injury and we're finally going to get to see what Zion Williamson is all about. But right now, he's looking pretty damn good, and so are the Pelicans. Then at number seven on my top 10 NBA power rankings are the Milwaukee Bucks. Overall record of 3-2 right now. You could still tell Damian Lillard's still trying to kind of find his way to fit in with this team. Not saying they look terrible, no. It's just, I mean, compared to everybody else, they're not as good. But, I mean, they still are a dominating team. Giannis still looks good. I had a feeling it was going to take a little bit of time because they also have a new coach as well. But I don't think there's any need to be worrying about the Bucks quite yet. Then at number 8 on my top 10 NBA power rankings, a team I'm actually, you know, like I said, these last three slots, it was kind of difficult for me to pick teams, but I am kind of shocked right now to see my number 8 team be the Atlanta Hawks, because they're 4-2 on the season. They're actually not complaining about shit just yet. Trae Young, he's doing Trae Young things, actually playing really well on the court. And then you've got DeJounte Murray. He's also having a solid season right now. Clint Capella, and then Yannick Ngakoue. That guy's name is so difficult to even pronounce, so hopefully I pronounced that correctly. But, I mean, overall, the Hawks are looking like a pretty complete team. And the Eastern Conference at the bottom portion of it is really not that good. So if the Hawks are able to actually play some consistent basketball all season long, I wouldn't be shocked to see them in the playoffs. Then at number 9 on my top 10 NBA power rankings, as I said, it was really difficult for me to rank some of these teams because, you know, everybody's kind of middle of the road right now. But I did put the Clippers. They're 3-2 right now. They are actually first in three-point field goal percentage right now. So they are knocking down the threes as they should. But it's really just we all got to kind of figure out when Kawhi is going to get injured and when Paul George is going to get injured, when James Harden's going to throw a fucking temper tantrum, when Russell Westbrook's going to just start throwing up threes and missing, tossing up brick after brick after brick. I mean, we got time to see all that shit. But right now, Clippers are playing some pretty decent basketball right now. And then rounding out my top 10 NBA power rankings, I have the Minnesota Timberwolves. Overall record of 3-2 right now. It seems that Rudy Gobert, Anthony Edwards, Mike Conley, and Kyle Anthony Towns are starting to mesh. Can they make it last a whole season? I don't know. It would be nice if they did, because that four right there I just named off, I mean, Gobert is a starter anywhere. So is Anthony Edwards. So is Karl Anthony Towns. And then Mike Conley has just always been that scrappy veteran presence you always need, who always makes a difference in a lot of games, especially playoff games. So I feel like that core four right there could actually start making a difference if they start gelling. And so far, they actually don't look too bad. But we'll see how they go as the season wears on. So, yeah, we got NBA. In-season tournament is already kicked off and in full force, so we'll see what goes on with that. And remember, if you are into sports gambling at all, you can always check out my preferred sports books on katytrop.net. Just go to the Sports Talk with Trop tab, and you will see a banner at the top that says Sports Talk with Trop. Trop's preferred sports books. Click on that and you will see a couple of sports books that you can sign up for if you like to gamble. And of course, it's only in states that gambling is legal in. So if you are in a state that it's not legal in, you will just receive a notice that says you can sign up, and we'll let you know when this is available in your area. So there you go. Go check that out on katytrop.net. So enjoy the rest of the week of sports, and I will talk to you all on Wednesday.